I am here in studio with State Senator Sue Moran. She represents the Plymouth Barnstable District, and that would be the towns of Plymouth, Kingston, Pembroke, Sandwich, Bourne, Mashpee, Plimpton, and Falmouth. Is that correct, Sue?
Yes, those are all my towns. I'm very proud to be their senator.
That's terrific, and we're glad you could get in here. You know, congratulations, you were reelected this term. You've got a big big legislative district. When I think of the Plymouth Barnstable District, of course, I think of water, and then the next thing I think of right away, which has been an ongoing issue, is the decommissioning of the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant by Holtec. And the question, because it seems to be so many ins and outs of whether it's going to happen or not, about the idea of wastewater being dumped into the bay, is it going to happen or is it not going to happen? Bring us up to speed on that. It's confusing.
Sure. So the NDCAP Citizens Committee has been hearing testimony, and that's really a great way to keep up on things. If your listeners who have a particular interest, they meet about once a month, and their schedule is on the state website. I try to appear pretty much every meeting to give an update, and also the legislative delegation for the federal side appears as well. Senator Markey in particular, Congressman Keating, Senator Warren sometimes too, and they are really doing a great job of monitoring. There is an unwavering opinion on the advocacy side, and I am included there, as well as I believe the federal delegation, that a new permit would be required so that if there is any dumping into Cape Cod Bay, it is not going to happen under the cover of night, is what I am confident of at this point, because through the advocates, we have brought so much light into this topic, and there never was, for a long time, not enough light. And we've also moved forward with legislation to try to deter potential dumping. That didn't pass last year, but we're still working on it with the state legislators, Rep. Lenatra, Muratori, others, and so it's something that's got to keep being watched. There are alternatives that have been proposed. Truck radioactive waste away to a federally certified location is one proposal. That's not without its own difficulties with that transport. So it's unfolding.
That's right, and you're talking too about federal guidelines, state guidelines, so there's got to be some question or even clashing there about what do we do, who controls this, because it seems like just when you think, well, it looks like it's getting resolved, it seems, again, the whole tech, it's never quite a real definitive answer what we're going to do, what we're not going to do. That's what I find confusing.
You're absolutely right. And because there's clash between the guidelines, one thing I'm confident of, the attorney general who is now to be the governor, Maura Healey, has really given this very forthright attention in her office. And there was a lawsuit years ago that was resolved by terms of a memorandum, and those terms are being very forcefully kept, and the governor-to-be is keeping an eye on this personally as well, which I appreciate.
I want to ask you, too, about housing, especially in your district. You've got so many businesses that are seasonal businesses and seasonal workers. Where do you house those people, and what happens when the season ends? Do they stay? Do they go? Do they want to stay and they can't stay?
Well, housing, I think, is the issue that I hear about most. Both the tenant side, the landlord side, the home ownership side, the housing for everyone. We need more housing so that we can continue to have first responders live near us, not have to travel one or the other side of the bridge, which it's right in the middle of my district. We need to put sensible programs. I did a forum with builders not too long ago and literally said, what do you need to help us build more affordable housing? One of them said that I have nowhere to house my workers to build when I do get a project. So this is how, you know, how much of a domino effect this is. So you will see from me legislation this year proposed that will give tax credits to builders who are right now providing housing for their employees, and that's just in that one area.
Now, you've had some stories anecdotally that you've spoken to us about where, oh, and this is something that's an ongoing problem. I know it's a mental health issue, but sometimes with people with young kids who have some real problems and you know, psychiatric problems, need some serious help. They have nowhere to go, and they end up spending a day, a week, a month in an emergency room. How is that still happening?
So it's a huge issue. It happens every day. And one of the big problems it causes is that we then don't have room in hospitals for people who have physical challenges, because we're housing, boarding, really, mentally crisis people, including youngsters, including adolescents, in emergency rooms for months at a time. I actually had a forum a couple of years ago bringing this issue to the attention of the administration, and not enough has happened. It comes down, I'm told, from the hospital administrators, who are working very hard to try to not only take care of these folks, but also get them in a longer term, more appropriate facility so that they can treat more sick people. And they are telling me it is about workforce. They don't have enough doctors, they don't have enough nurses, they don't have enough floor people to take care of the demand. That also has repercussions as we come forward in this COVID time, where, you know, we're really kind of walking a bit on a picket fence, hoping that preventative measures take care of it so that we don't have more emergencies and hospital situations. But long term, we need more treatment, inpatient as well as outpatient, for people who are now getting boarded, and it is an emergency situation.
What about transportation? I was down by Cordage Park the other night, and I saw that, oh, that's right, there's a train station here, but there's no train stopping here anymore. And that was part of that whole redevelopment of that area, and how convenient would that be to have the train right there, but now it's not there. Do you see any hope for getting that revived?
Hope, yes. And you probably know that my Plymouth office is right there at Cordage, mm-hmm. So I see this every day. I'm proud to say that the governor-elect and lieutenant governor, we were their second stop on their tour after the primary. So if you can imagine the entire state of what should we pay attention to, and their forward-facing platforms about housing and transportation, mm-hmm. Plymouth, our district, was where they chose to be. And so we got a terrific tour of the beautiful apartments that are there, the housing that's right there at that transportation mecca. And we were able to talk about the fact that it had been shut down essentially for, as best we understand, budgetary reasons, where the T is having such challenges, even continuing right now. And workforce, again, in the administration's ability to handle fixes that are required on the T, and that has a domino effect out to Plymouth. We're hopeful right now that station will be reopened, and I have to thank my legislative partners, Rep. Muratori and Lenatra, in banding together with me and really mm-hmm. Raising the alarm on that situation, because if I was living right there, I'd be wondering, how am I going to get to work with the train shut
down? I got the track, but no train.
And in fact, you will see me with regional transportation. Right now, I'm in charge of the Human Services Regional Transportation on legislative issues from Senator Chandler, who was just a warrior in that area. And we're going to be doing some real highlighting of the RTA issues as well. We've got terrific Cape Cod RTA with Administrator Tom Kerr on the Cape. We've got GATRA on the Plymouth side. And we want to be sure that the money that we're putting in to maintaining and climatizing transportation really gets used by people. So it's the responsibility of the transportation to be reliable, and we want to show that we're getting there.
What do you think are going to be the two biggest things on your agenda for 2023?
So I have, with Senator Lewis, been the sponsor of child care legislation, which can be seen at commonstartma.org. I look at it as a very fundamental economic development bill. If we don't have our kids safely and well cared for, then parents really can't go to work and be completely focused on their work. The bill almost went through, and we're really hopeful that it is going to go through. It's going to help child care businesses as well as parents to be able to afford childcare. That's the first one.
Okay, absolutely. If people want to get in touch with your office or find out more information about different issues or how they can contact you, what's the best way to do that? What's your best phone and, say, website or Facebook page?
It's so funny. I don't bring it with me, and I know I should because you always ask me that. I can tell you it's you can find it on the state website at mass.gov. And the best way is to send an email, because then we have a record of when we can follow up and who we can move the question or issue to.
Absolutely. Well, you've given us some good things to think about today. We appreciate you coming in here and giving us a wrap-up. It's so nice to do it when we're not just in the middle of an election forum. But those are
sure
fun,
is.
Too.
Absolutely. Thank you, Christine.
You're welcome. That's State Senator Sue Moran. She is from the Plymouth Barnstable District. And, of course, if you want to find out if you're in the district, Plymouth, Kingston, Pembroke, Sandwich, Bourne, Mashpee, Plimpton, and Falmouth.